Over the last several weeks, we have looked at these two pictures as we've begun. And the position is just taking a walk or following Jesus. You'll notice that the walk is a circular walk that looks more like a hamster trail than it does like getting anywhere. There's times where when we look back at our day where we feel a lot more like we've been on the hamster trail than like we've been walking with Jesus. Honestly, I'm going to tell you that the topic that we're going to be talking about today as we talk about following Jesus, it's one of those where most of us, some of us feel like we're on the hamster trail. Others of us feel like we don't want to be in the hamster cage or anywhere near anything. I'll just go ahead and say it. We're going to talk about sharing Christ with other people. That's a tough sell whenever it comes to preaching, to be honest with you. And the reality is that I don't want today for you to feel like, oh, he's gonna pound me over the head with what I ought to do and make me feel bad because I have... Nope, don't want to do that. Not going there, not going to do it. I'm also not going to spend a whole lot of time saying, well, if you'll just say this, and if you'll just follow this plan and you just do this, then everything will be all hunky-dory. Because that's not true either. Neither one of those are accurate. But I do want to talk about this thing that we struggle to do. And that is telling people about Jesus. Sharing our faith. Now, I'm going to be honest with you as we get started. It's been a long time since I've sat down one-on-one and had a conversation with someone where that conversation had the purpose of me trying to explain to them who Jesus is and why they should put their faith in Him. Does that sound strange coming from the preacher? Been a while. Been a long while. And you know, the truth is I do have opportunities to encourage people. And I have opportunities to engage people and answer their questions. And there's people who will ask you questions. I have a chance to pray with people. I do that a lot more than I do the other things. So the question is, have I shared my faith with others? If that means that I made it through some kind of presentation, then no. If it means that I led somebody through a scripted prayer of confession and repentance, then no, I didn't. I haven't. So it comes back to the question, have I shared my faith with somebody? And honestly, because I do care about following Jesus, I feel guilty because you have to understand, I grew up in a church culture. And I feel guilty because I haven't done those things as much as I'm supposed to. Maybe you're just like me. What I want you to understand is that God doesn't want us to feel compelled by shame. He wants us to share with people the truth about Jesus because of the appreciation, the gratitude, the love, and the relationship that we have with Him. So the fact of the matter is, every one of us comes to this thing called sharing our faith in Jesus from a different place. Because we're not all in the same place in our relationship with Jesus. You know, if you're like me, and I think you are, you really do want people to experience the power of God. You want people to know what it means to have the weight taken off your shoulders and know that you are forgiven of all that crud that you know and I know and we know we've done. Or that we didn't do. We need that weight lifted from our lives if we're going to be who and all that God wants us to be. So the fact that you might share with me the fact that you want others to feel mercy and grace and forgiveness and peace, that's a good thing. And if you're like me, you want the kingdom of God to expand in a way that we can't control anymore. I would like that. Wouldn't you like to see that a little bit? So this morning, I want to start at the point that we often start at when we talk about you and I being duly deputized, in the immortal words of Brother Dusty, to tell other people about Jesus. Because it goes more deeply. In fact, I struggle with just talking about telling somebody about Jesus. Because that's not the whole process. So let's look at the Great Commission. We're going to look at it, if this isn't going to be overkill, from three different versions real quickly here. Okay? There's nuances I want to look at in each one of these versions. The first one is New Living. So let's look at it for a second. It says, Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now clearly this does show that the last thing that Jesus did on earth was tell His disciples to make disciples. Go make people who would follow Him. He gave them and us, because we follow in that succession, the authority of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we walk in. He said that He would always be with us. Always. Now this is how He launched us out. So let's look at a second version. This one is from the New Century version. Same passage. Listen to the little things that are different. So it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. That's pretty the same. So go and make followers. Notice the change. Go make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I have taught you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now in this version, I like the idea of making followers of Jesus. I can make followers. I like that idea. Okay? I can make followers. You can make followers. It's something that we can do. This lets me off the hook. I'm going to be honest with you. This lets me off the hook for the heart change stuff. Because I can't make that happen. I can't hardly tie my shoes sometimes and change shoe pairs, much less change anybody's heart. But I know that I can help somebody become a follower. I can do that. I have to trust God for the heavy lifting. That's what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there for. They're the ones who have to do the heart change stuff. And I have to trust them to do that. Third version. Here we're looking at the message. Yes, it's a paraphrase. Hang in there with me. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave His charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now, where do you think I'm going to go with this one? There's two things that I like. Okay. Number one, I like the whole idea there of go out and train everyone you meet far and near. I like how that sounds. And two, the thing that I like about this is that last phrase, I'll be with you as you do this day after day. I like that. Day after day. Now the one thing that you hear me telling you a lot whenever we look at this passage, at least whenever I preach it, is that the controlling verb of all the stuff that happens in this little passage, the controlling verb is make disciples. The controlling verb is not go. It's not an emphatic, get out there, partner. It's as you are going, make disciples. It's assumed that we're all going to be going. The question is, where are we going? And if I understand the message's interpretation, it's a matter of where I'm going when I get up in the morning. Whenever I get in my car and I go somewhere, that's where I'm going. So where I'm going is where I'm being sent. Same thing with you. Where you wake up and where you're going is where you're being sent. It's not Africa today. Not for us, because we're here. It's not China today. It's Savannah, Georgia, 52nd Street. When we leave here, we go eat lunch or we go do whatever. We're being sent wherever we're going in Jesus' name to make disciples. All right. This is the way that the Gospels put it. In this case, Matthew's version. The Apostle Paul, he talked about the same thing, but he did it with a metaphor. So we're going to look at what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's got one of our favorite passages that comes before it. So hear me. Listen to this. This is the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start a little bit early, and then we'll catch up to this in just a second. So in verse 14, Paul wrote, "Either way, Christ's love controls us. That's the motivation we need. No compelling from outside, no guilt, no shame, no go do it because it's out of love. Since we believe Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and raised and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently do we know Him now? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This metaphor here of ambassadors, it works for me. Don't know if it works for you. But as I thought about that, I started to think about the fact that we are sent, like an ambassador, sent to another country to represent Jesus and the citizenship that He has placed us in as His kingdom people, as being a part of where He rules and He reigns. And we're in this part of that kingdom that extends here still into this world, even though we know it extends into one that we've not yet seen. There's a trouble between our kingdom that we live in right now and the kingdom that we've been made citizens of. And we are the ones that He has sent back into the place that's got all the chaos and all the trouble and all the mess. And we're the ones who are to reconcile the two. We're the ones who are sent to share this message that we have. We've got this message, and it has the ability to smooth out and lubricate and eliminate all the friction between this kingdom and the one that we represent. We've got it. You know what a missionary is? You know what a missionary does? Missionaries go to a different place to share the message of Jesus. We all understand that. But have you ever thought about what they have to do in order to accomplish that? They have to know the biblical culture that's expressed in the Bible. They have to know the culture that they are going to. Sometimes missionaries have to live in that culture a long time before they understand that culture. Sometimes it's almost by divine accident that some breakthrough comes through and there is a way that they can actually communicate the message that's in the Bible that's enculturated there into this new culture that they have come to understand by spending a lot of time being in it. It doesn't just happen when you cross a line. Oh, I'm in France. I know how French people can hear about Jesus best. I can study in a classroom for years and years, and I would have no idea how to do that. I have to be there. I have to know the people. I have to watch them. I have to listen to them. I have to live with them. That's what missionaries do. That's what you and I are sent to do every single day. when we wake up, we leave our doors, we get in our cars, we are sent to be missionaries. We are to understand the message and all the parts of the culture that the Bible has for us to understand about Jesus and when He came and why He came. And then somehow we are to understand the world, the culture that we live in here in beautiful Savannah, Georgia, the biggest little town that I've ever lived in and you've probably ever lived in, and understand the way to communicate that truth that we know. We have to know both cultures. And the funny thing and the hard thing is somehow we have to eliminate ourselves from the equation. We have to make sure that we are not in any way communicating our culture instead of what the Bible says. That's tricky sometimes. It's hard. It's a challenge. But that's what a missionary does. And we're the ones who have been commissioned. That's what we're supposed to do. I thought of this. Here's an illustration. Have you ever been trying to listen to a radio and there's so much static you can't understand or hear what's going on in the radio? But once the static's removed, you can hear the message perfectly clear. Well, that's what a missionary does. See, from the Bible's message to the culture of the world here and even in Savannah, Georgia that we're trying to communicate to, there's a lot of noise that happens. And sometimes it comes from people's lives and experiences. Sometimes it comes from lies that people have believed, things that they don't understand, can't make sense of, and it gets very noisy. Well, we, as the ones who are going as ambassadors, we're supposed to be Jesus with skin on for this culture and remove the noise so they can get the message and they can hear it clearly. So what do we need to know in order to make followers of Jesus? Well, I'm going to really simplify this down. Let me tell you four things that I want to focus on very, very briefly. First, our purpose is to make disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. It's that simple. That's what He said. We're not supposed to make church members. Oh my gosh. We're not supposed to make denominational adherents. That's not our purpose. We're supposed to make disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. We're not even supposed to make morally improved citizens, which some people seem to like a whole lot, even though it sort of eliminates the idea of what grace is all about. We're supposed to do the things that Jesus did. We're supposed to live the things that Jesus taught and lived. Be a follower, and you can make a follower. It's pretty simple. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is essential in every part of this mission. No one disciple or follower of Jesus came to faith without the working of God before they ever came to faith in Jesus, and they have not yet found any time in their lives, if you're like me, where you did not need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep working in you. In fact, if I am going to be a disciple, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to model what Jesus did being a fisher of men and women and children, boys and girls and whatever else you can put in there. If that's what I'm going to do, then I need to realize that it's going to take the Holy Spirit working in me, through me, around me, before me and after me. And if He's not, then I'm just out for a walk and I'm whistling by myself. Next, our message is simple. The truth is, there is no perfect model for a gospel presentation. I'm sorry, there are some great ones out there and they can be fantastic tools, but you guys have to know that there is no perfect plan for how to tell somebody about Jesus. And there is no way, if you're smart, I don't care how smart you are, okay? I'm not stupid. I'm not brilliant. Got two master's degrees, and there's times where people will ask me stuff, or I'll be in a conversation, and I haven't got a clue as to what to tell them. I do not have all the answers. I will never have all the answers. But what I do know is what I'm about to tell you. And it's not that hard. First thing I would tell people is that God's got a plan, and He has a place for us in that plan. We can be in the middle of the action, where God is at work. And that's very foundational. We need to be able to share that. Second, we've got to share the fact that when we're honest, we know that we sin and that we are broken and weak. We do it, folks. We are broken and weak. And the more honest we are about our brokenness and our weakness, the more people are going to listen to us. Not because they see us doing that, but because they know we're being honest. Nothing turns people off more than believing that we believe we're more righteous than we really are, or more righteous than they are, which is even worse. We know in our heart of hearts, if you're honest, that before you came to Christ, you knew at some point that you were miserable, that there were questions you didn't have answered, there were things you couldn't control, there were needs you have that you could not meet. And everybody experiences those. Everybody. The question is, are we willing to be honest about it? And what we need to help people be is honest about it. Because we have something that if they'll pursue and they'll follow, if they'll follow Jesus, they'll find that those things can be answered. Maybe not in a moment, maybe not in one conversation, because we certainly don't have all the answers. But it can happen in the sharing of a life. And that sin that we know we've committed separates us from God. Third thing's better, though. And that is that Jesus died to reclaim us, to forgive us, to walk with us, and to give us a future. He did that. We need to make sure we don't leave that out. There's a lot of people talking about God who want to leave out that precious fact. We can't do it because it's the core. It is the very center of the message that we have. The fact that He was dead, He died for sin, He took up His life and did exactly what He said He was going to do. And that we know everything He said was true. The fourth thing that we have to share that's simple, three little words. Confess, repent, follow. People need to understand. That's a part of the deal. Confess that we're sinners. Repent. Determine and ask God to help us change and not do that thing anymore. And then follow. In fact, if we'll follow, we'll find that it's a whole lot easier to continue in that direction of repent. And what happens then is pretty cool. We change and we become a part of the plan. Now, this is what we have to share. Isn't that simple? It isn't technical. It's not running to all these different passages in the Bible, which is good to know. Okay? And it's great to be able to share with people passages in the Bible to underscore these things. But that comes in time too. Some essentials. It is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we do this. God is love and righteous at the same time. So we can't fall into one ditch or the other. God is holy, He's just, He's righteous, but He's also loving. And those two are true. They don't fight with each other. They coexist because that's God. So we have to deal with sin. And at the same time, we have to be gracious and loving and kind and forgiving. Listen to this next one. Fellowship leads to fellowship. Fellowship. You follow Jesus, you'll find that you have others to be in fellowship with, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He calls people together to be His body. That's what church is all about. At least that's the plan. And lastly, we lead with what God has done in us. All this message that we have to share, the thing that compels us is our gratitude. The thing that compels us is our love for God, appreciation for the fact that He has done wonderful things for us. Some things before we even knew or understand. Some things now I don't get either. But the fact is, that's what motivates us to be on mission. Our lives, if you're willing to accept it, our lives are the gospel, the message of Jesus that gets written on the hearts of people that we interact with. It matters what we do. Every single part of it. There is nothing we can do in a day that does not matter, because our lives are the gospel that some people will hear. Are they hearing Jesus or are they hearing some other news? Our lives are the translation that they read. Lastly, we work together. The good news is we do not make disciples of Jesus alone. None of us has to shoulder that responsibility all by ourselves. We're not supposed to. God made us a part of His body, and the reason why He did was so that we could work together to see people birthed into the kingdom of God. So in order for this to happen, how can we be ready? How can we be ready to share? How can we be prepared and ready for when God gives us these opportunities? Here's some suggestions. Number one, just pray for others that you know who need Jesus. Or you could even start with just praying for people you know who are in the middle of circumstances that are overwhelming them and are grieving them, and that's a pretty good place to start. But especially those who you know have questions, don't have a God to hold on to. Pray for them. Second, be prepared to share with someone how to begin the journey of faith in Jesus. And that's the simple thing I just told you about. You don't have to have some outline memorized that has a Bible verse for every single thing. You don't. Three, invite and include people into in community activities. And that's faith community activities. Faith community activities. In other words, people don't have to be Christians to be in this congregation. They don't have to be Christians to be in a life group. They don't have to be Christians to hang out with any one of us. May not even want to be. But if we're going to make followers of Jesus, we've got to cast the nets out there in the water the way that Peter, James, John, and Andrew did. We've got to invite people. Now listen, we can't make it simple enough to think the way that we used to think back in the 60s and the 70s. It was a, if we build it, they will come. You know, the thing from Field of Dreams? If we build it, they will come. Doesn't work that way. Okay? If you build a bigger box, doesn't mean you're going to have more roaches run into the box. Okay? If you build it, they will come. Is just spending a lot of resources that could be poured into the lives of people and into reaching people and helping people and developing people. Now, if here on a given Sunday we happen to have 500 people, then we will do what we have to do to find a way to accommodate. Whatever that might be, we'll pray, we'll listen, we'll see what that is. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. But that's not where we are right now. Next, just do the basic stuff. Read and study the Bible. Take time to do it. Not only that, last thing, which is very important, and that is to keep a clean spiritual slate with confession and repentance. It's not just about when you come to Christ that you confess and repent. I'm 57. I probably couldn't put a number to the number of times I've come to the realization that I needed to confess and repent. And that's reality. It's very important if you want to share with somebody that you have a firm foundation and that you are empowered and there's nothing in the way, so that you are listening to the Holy Spirit. God's got your ear. He's leading you. You know that. Confession, repentance, that's just foundational. That's got to be a part of our life. Making disciples, sharing Jesus, sharing the message of Jesus, living the life that Jesus has allowed us to enjoy and have, that's a part of communicating the message. The message is not just words on a page. The message is a changed life. And if we're going to make disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus, it's about sharing life. And we've got to do it. In fact, we can't not do it unless we stay in our home and wall ourselves up and not go anywhere and do anything. Because we're going to be out there. Don't you have some place to be tomorrow? I have some place to be. I've got some places to be this afternoon. Wherever I'm going, wherever you're going. This is who we are. This is what we were meant to be. So I encourage you. Pray about these things. I want you to pick out two of them. and just do a couple of them for the next week. One day at a time, just do two of them. And see what God does. See what doors He opens. See how He prepares you to be ready. See how He shows you situations you didn't see before, where you could say something, speak in some way, something of this simple message, and see what God does. A few weeks ago, whenever I began this series for us, I asked you to put a little arrow on your cards. If you are in with being a disciple, you are willing to get on the journey, you're on the journey, just put the little arrow on there, okay? Remember that arrow. You know what I'm talking about if you're here? Remember the arrow? Okay. This is a part of the arrow. Let's pray. Gary, come on. Father, I ask that You would be speaking to us, as I know You have been all throughout this time we've had. And Lord, I give You credit in that You may have been speaking to Your people about stuff that relates to this, or You might have been talking to somebody about something else. And Lord, I just ask that You would drive that message home. That Lord, whatever that message is, You've been bringing before somebody in here today, maybe many somebody, that Lord, we would listen to You, and that we would record that, that we would keep that, and we would listen and consider it and see what You're saying to us. Father, about this thing about sharing, I pray that Lord, You would give us the determination, and also that You would give us the ability to remember the great things that You've done. And that Lord, that love for You and that appreciation, Lord, would drive us to do some of these things so we can be better prepared to tell somebody about who Jesus is, what He's done in us, what He's done for them, and how their lives can be changed. Lord, go before us, be with us, follow after us, and finish the job. Lord, I ask that You would do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Dusty, Dane, and I are going to be up in front here like normal. Normal as often as our habit. If there's something that you would like to have somebody pray with you about, we'll be up here to do that. And if not, then you've got your cards. Write your requests on the cards and make sure they get in the basket. You do what God leads you to do. We're going to end this morning praying with a brother. Jim, come on up. Jim would like for us to pray for his brother. So I'm going to ask him to come, and I'm going to let him stand in his brother's place. I'm going to put my arms on his shoulder. I'm going to pray for his brother. What's your brother's first name?
Billy.
Billy. Praying for Billy. So let's lift up Billy. Father God, we join Jim. We ask, Lord, that You would come. That, Lord, You would make Your presence strong in Billy. That, Lord, he would know that You are calling his name. That, Lord, he would hear Your still, small voice in the middle of whatever he's going through right now. And that, Lord, he would listen. And that, Father, You would be gracious to him. That, Lord, You would provide for him hope. Father, we thank You for Jim, who would stand in the gap for his brother. And, Lord, we, as his church family, stand in the gap with him. And we lift up Billy to You. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father God, go before us. Let us live this message that You have given to us and changed us with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.